flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. Team WWL right now, Steve Geller, Mike Dettillier, Deuce McAllister, and on our virtual Treasure Chest Casino Power Seat, happy to welcome in Eagles sideline reporter Howard Eskin. Howard, how are you doing, man? Thanks for joining us tonight.
Oh, I'm just absolutely wonderful. I mean, it's just, it couldn't be better. Every day couldn't be better. I'm good. You got to say that because it just, it makes people smile. You know what? We have too many other things going on. So, you know, when you're in a city with the Saints, I guess you can't smile that much, but, you know, that's what it is. I had to get that shot in. How are you guys doing?
Hey, Howard, you can get that shot in. The way the Eagles have played, man, you know, to be in a couple Super Bowls in a short period of time, it's got to be great. And, you know, we were talking about this, Bobby Hebert and I. Man, the last time they played in the Super Bowl, it was like you did everything but win the game. You know, and you gave Mahomes one shot at the end, and you knew damn well if he had that ball at the end of the game, he was going to figure out a way to beat you.
Well, here's the I take that back to the first half where I think – I mean, there was other things that happened after the first half where they lost the game. What were they up, 11? The Eagles were up, I think it was 21-10, and then Jalen Hurts fumbles the ball, and they take it in for a touchdown. That changes the whole dynamic of the game going into the second half. Turnovers, it's so amazing. You know, the plus in turnovers the Eagles have had in the playoffs. But, I mean, that's going to be a factor in the game. Kansas City does not turn the ball over. And the Eagles have gotten a lot of turnovers. But I think that game a couple of years ago, I think Jalen Hurts actually was a better quarterback a couple of years ago than he is now. I know the coach gets crazy in how great he is, and he's done a really nice job. But I think he was better back then, and I don't know why. I just saw the way they played and what they did and in that game, and it was just, yeah, it came down to the end, but I think it kind of let Kansas City in the door because of that turnover right before the end of the first half. I think turnovers are a big, big part of this game.
Because I think it got to the championship game, and none of the teams had turned the ball over. It was zero for all of them. That didn't happen with the Commanders when they played the Eagles. But still, that's amazing, and I still think that is the one stat you can look at, giveaway, takeaway, that it's not 100% foolproof, but it's pretty damn close.
Well, you look at Washington. Washington beat Detroit, which, I'm a little surprised. Obviously, I'm surprised. But Detroit turned the ball over 5 times.
Yeah.
You can't win like that. Now, the advantage that the Eagles had, and it people kind of glossed over it, Washington had played that was their fourth straight road game. When teams play 3 straight road games, and I remember Matt Ryan has a charity function in this. He's from the Philadelphia area. And I was playing with Matt, and we talked about a lot of things, not a lot about football. I said, and I know they had a game, a a stretch in their season that year, played three straight road games. He says, we were terrible in that third straight road game. Now, Washington, think about that. The third straight road game was Detroit because their last game of the season was on the road. And then they played the Eagles the fourth straight road game. That is hard for a team. And I don't know why, but it is just there's something about it. And the Eagles were a better team. I mean, let's be honest about it. Yeah. The Eagles were a better team. But, you know, Washington turned the ball over. Turned the ball over, you know, bad turn. I mean, every turnover is bad, but some of them, it's like so ridiculous. How did you turn the ball over on that situation? So there was a lot of factors, but the Eagles were a better team. So, but turnover, here's factors that I look at in this game. The head coach, and I like Nick Sirianni. I think Nick Sirianni is a very good coach. But Andy Reid is the best coach in football and maybe the top three coaches of all time. He's certainly, in my opinion, better than Bill Belichick, you know, besides everything that he did, and he had Tom Brady. I just think Andy Reid's a better coach. So you got the better coach on Kansas City. You got the better quarterback on Kansas City. Obviously, Mahomes is better than Jalen Hurts. But I think the Eagles are the better team. So there's all these factors. That's why the game, you know, the line is so close and the game is really going to be close. I don't think, you know, all these people that pick high scores, I don't know how – I think you need turnovers for high scores. And I don't know that the Eagles can do that because if they're going to be successful offensively, they're going to have to run the football. So that kind of brings the score down as well. Now, I don't know what the game plan is, but I'm sure they got to try to run because that – makes it easier for Jalen Hurts. But there's so many different factors. It's really a tough game. It's really a tough game to pick. But like I said, I think the Eagles are a better team, but there's a couple of factors where I don't think they're better, and that's the head coach and the quarterback.
Yeah, and I think, you know, just following up on that when you talk, and this is Deuce, thank you for joining us. When you talk about that, I don't think the moment will be too big for Philadelphia. You know, even though you have some new pieces, I don't think the moment will be too big for this team because a lot of them have been there in that situation. But I'm curious, if this game is close, what does your gut tell you? And particularly in the fourth quarter where some plays have to be made.
Well, it's whoever has the ball. You know, it's a simple thing to say, whoever has the ball last. Whoever has the ball, because I think if a team has the ball last, either one of these teams has a good chance to score. Now, we know Kansas City's done it. The Eagles have not done it as much as Kansas City because they have not been in that situation as much as Kansas City. Kansas City, it's crazy this year. They've played more games winning by less than 7 points than more than half the teams in the NFL when the team wins. It's amazing, but they find a way to win. So if it comes down to that at the end and it's close, the other team better run out the clock if they're going to take the lead. That's really the way I look at it because both these teams have ways they can score. The Eagles have great wide receivers. They have a great offensive line. The running back, if it comes down to the end, Saquon Barkley is not going to be as big a factor as the quarterback's going to have to be. But Kansas City, they do just so many things. Andy Reid just finds ways and designs things, and he's going to run plays that he hasn't run all year. I think the Eagles will probably do the same thing. They have so many plays that they have not run. But it's probably too simple to say it's going to be the team that has the ball last. But I don't think if one of these teams has the ball last with an opportunity to take the lead, I find it hard to believe that the other team's going to be able to stop them. It's when you get to this point and you know these teams are both good, they just find ways. That's what good teams do, and both these teams are really good teams.
You've been around this team pretty much all year. Tell us, you know, what the mood has been with this Eagles team and, you know, this week since they've been in New Orleans?
Well, I'm telling you, their personalities just don't seem, and the attitudes just don't seem to change. They kind of treat every week the same. Now, we know with all the nonsense that goes on Super Bowl week, I've been to 42 Super Bowls. It's just, mean, it's now it's more of a show during the week than it is informational. Same questions asked different ways. You know, somebody today brings up the question to Nick Sirianni about his first news conference as an Eagles coach, and that was a train wreck. But that was four years ago. It's just like you're reaching for things, but the attitude of the team, because the coach has Nick Sirianni has them kind of treating everything the same. I know you can't treat the Super Bowl the same. I mean, it's just, I've seen it. I've been around Super Bowl teams that have handled it well, Super Bowl teams from Philadelphia that have handled it well, and some that didn't do a good enough job handling it. But this team understands, and it's the personality and the mentality, although people think Nick Sirianni is out there too much. He's not. These guys pay attention to him more than people give him credit for. But, they're fine. They're fine. It's just, and I think Kansas City's the same way. When you get to this point, and it's not the first time. It's not the first time they've been to this game. The first time I can understand where you could be a little jittery, and then once you get to the game, it's like, oh my God, it's the Super Bowl. You know, and for the first minute, but once you start playing the game, and approach to the game is all the same for the Eagles, and it's just they have a good, they kind of stay grounded, and they've done that the whole season. They really have done that the whole season. Now, I'm not saying Kansas City hasn't, but I know the Eagles have.
Howard, one of the things certainly been no secret that it looks as though sometime next week that the Saints will name Kellen Moore their new head coach, and your dealings with Kellen. Now, you can't bring that offensive line and Saquon with him, which would be pretty good. No. We'll call that a deal right now. But your thoughts on Kellen Moore? He's walking into a situation, don't have quarterback. Your offensive line needs to be rebuilt. You got some issues here with money, salary cap-wise, especially for this year. Your thoughts on Kellen Moore and how he'll handle being a head coach for the very first time?
Well, it's always different for somebody that has done it for the first time. But I think Kellen Moore has always been, this season, I don't want to say, I use the word under control, but has always maintained a semblance of just good, solid consciousness. And he worked with let's put it this way. He works with people. I like Chip Kelly because I get along with Chip. And he just got the offensive coordinator's job at the Raiders. But Chip wanted to run in the NFL the offense his way. And sometimes you can't put a square peg in a round hole. Where Kellen Moore and the Eagles and Nick Sirianni, and there's certain things that Jalen Hurts wasn't comfortable with. Well, he'll work with the players to make sure, you always hear that, well, I want to put them in the best position. Well, sometimes you got to do that by working and doing things that you don't think are as good as you can be with the way you want to run your offense. For instance, Jalen Hurts was not comfortable under center. And they worked with him, and he does more of that, but he still does a lot from the shotgun, obviously, because he's more comfortable making the reads from the shotgun or the pistol. But Kellen Moore will work with those players to make sure that he doesn't do things that they're not as good at. I think he's a really sharp guy. And again, it comes down to the players, and you got to have players to win. And good coaches get fired because they don't have players. That's basically what it comes down to. So I think he'll be good, but again, you need a quarterback. And obviously you said the Saints need an offensive line. It's not the days of Drew Brees and Sean Payton, but Sean Payton had a really good quarterback. And I think Sean Payton's a great coach. But it's just, you got to get the quarterback first, and then you got to get the offensive line. And you got to get the quarterback somewhere in the same spin. That's why the Giants suck, because a Saquon Barkley, as great as he is, that was the most ridiculous, foolish pick at number two when they took Saquon Barkley at number two. Check the history. Maybe you've already checked it. Running backs taken in the top 10 in the draft usually don't have success with the team that drafted them. Because if you're getting that high a pick in the top 10, you must need a quarterback or the offensive line. And the Giants needed both a quarterback and the offensive line. So, again, you got to have players. And if Kellen Moore gets players, I think he's going to be a pretty good coach. And gets the players, I think he'll be a good coach.
Howard, when they signed Zach Bond, okay, I don't think even Vic Fangio envisioned he would have a guy that legitimate. I mean, he's up there for Defensive Player of the Year. If his impact on that defense, he was a special teams guy, specialty player here with the Saints. It was not the right fit. And I'm not sure if Vic wanted to tell you the truth about it. I don't think he envisioned that he would be that type player with the Eagles. About that evolution of watching Zach Bond in Philly and to see the impact he had defensively.
Well, nobody figured he'd be that type of player. But sometimes you get lucky. Now, the Eagles signed some players like Devin White, who didn't play a second. Didn't play a second before they cut him. And they signed some other players that have not made an impact. But Zach, sometimes you get lucky. You think the guy might be a solid player, and they obviously thought Zach Bond could contribute more on special teams. But nobody, and obviously you got to give some credit to the coach, Vic Fangio, who's a really good defensive coach. Give him some credit. But the player's got to make plays. And he has a down-to-earth person, plays. If you don't play hard, you're not going to last very long in the NFL. But he's done everything well, and nobody envisioned this. Now they're going to have to sign him to a nice contract, and he's going to have to continue that. But I think he's got the mentality. But between Zach Bond, sometimes you go to another team, and you all of a sudden, wow, you're the player that somebody at one point thought you could be, but the coach obviously helped too. Zach Bond is a really, really good defensive player, obviously.
Howard, definitely appreciate your time. Have a great call on game day, man.
All right, you guys have a good time and a great time. Hey, you know, and don't worry, the Saints are 2 to 3 years away from being 2 to 3 years away from being 2 to 3 years away.
Howard, that's encouraging, Howard. You
better enjoy this ride while you can.
Okay. Howard Eskin, Eagles sideline reporter, joining us there on the virtual treasure chest power seat. We're here on Radio Row at the Host Committee's Media Center in the Memorial Convention Center, powered by Lambert, Zaney, Smith, and Soso. Taking a break on Sports Talk, coming back with more right after this on WWL. Folks, sports have become big, a massive industry all its own. Big stadiums, big crowds, and the big ripple effects beyond the game itself. Be sure to listen to our next Odyssey Conversation special. Big games, big money. That is tonight at 8 p.m. on WWL and the free Odyssey app. We're going to take a break. When we come back, credentialed NBA writer Ali Cosell will join us, breaking down the NBA trade deadline and the Pelicans right after this on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, powered by Lambert, Zaney, Smith, and Soso, we're visiting on the virtual treasure chest power seat. NBA credentialed writer Ali Cosell joins the radio huddle. Ali, not much going on this trade deadline, huh? How you been, man?
I've been great, Steve. And look, I think everybody's feeling better because the Pelicans accomplished their mission, right? They had to get under the luxury tax, and you just knew the Brandon Ingram trade had to happen, and it finally did.
Yeah, and the week started out crazy, obviously, with the Dallas Mavericks trading with the Los Angeles Lakers. But this one, like you mentioned, with Brandon Ingram was definitely a long wait to see this happening. We thought it might happen at the, in the offseason, the beginning of the year. And then it looked like, I don't know, they might come to terms in an agreement with Brandon to keep him around here. But in the end, they end up shipping the piece off to Toronto. What did you think of at least the return the Pels are getting back for Brandon Ingram?
I'm happy because, look, there was no market for him coming into yesterday. Right, there was no market for him. Yes, there are some teams having exploratory talks with the Pels, just like every team just basically does with one another with any player they're interested in. But there was really no traction being made until yesterday. So for the fact that it looked like the Pelicans were going to be stuck with, taking Brandon Ingram to the end of the season and then just hoping that, likely the extension talk with them was done, right? Because Trey Murphy has emerged The only reason I think Brandon Ingram was maybe still going to get an extension from the Pels was because they needed a legitimate starter and they weren't sure if Trey was going to fill that role. But he has certainly shown he is that guy last few months. So the Pelicans are at best hoping for a sign and trade this summer, right? Just hoping to get anything of value back. So the fact that they landed what I think is the best deal they possibly could have had, right, because he had no market. The fact they got a future first-round pick from the Pacers, and it looks like it's definitely going to convey in 2026, which is a great draft, and also a second-round pick. So the fact that they were able to get, like I said, anything of value for Brandon Ingram and sliding underneath the luxury tax, and they might even have a backup center for next year in Kelly Olynyk, I think they accomplished their mission.
Yeah, Ollie, I think that they did a pretty good job, you know, all things considering when you look at it, the market and kind of how some teams were operating with the new CBA with the second apron and the first apron. I mean, but still, when you look across the NBA and not even the Luka trade, give me your thoughts on some of the guys that moved him. You know, Jimmy Butler is, you know, in all types of fight with with Miami and, you know, what they had going on. He's already signed his extension. He waived his option and he signed his extension. But just give me your thoughts on some of the other moves made by teams.
Yeah, what's funny is just a month ago we were hearing, okay, there's barely going to be any big names getting moved, right, because of what you just said. The new CBA is very penal. Very hard to make trades, especially amongst contenders. But the fact there were so many big names that moved, right? You mentioned Jimmy Butler, and that's probably the most shocking one because we had heard the Warriors were interested in Butler, but he had said no to them, right, initially. Didn't sound like he wanted to go there. He only wanted to end up in Phoenix. But the fact that they, you know, went back that to that well and also got that extension done, it's pretty interesting. I think it shows you the desperation of both parties, right, the Warriors and Butler. So now you just wonder how that's going to play out, right? It's an old team. Right. You have to wonder, has Golden State got anything left in the tank like Steph Curry to make another legitimate run? I don't know. But the fact you've got Draymond Green and Jimmy Butler on the same sideline, I'll tell you what, we'll at least have fireworks. But, yeah, I mean, look, Anthony Davis has a new home. Luka, you mentioned. De'Aaron Fox going from the Kings to the Spurs. Now there's a legitimate star next to Wembanyama, who looks like he's primed to be the number one player for, what, maybe the next 5/10 years. You also, besides Brandon Ingram, has Zach LaVine, right, change addresses. And the Lakers, they still got a legitimate young starting center in Mark Williams, right, to add to that Luka core. So, yeah, there was a lot of big names that moved. Surprising, but it was fun.
One of the things I look at it, this trade, and I was telling this to Steve, the first and second round pick become valuable because people say, well, you got Bruce Brown Jr. And I think he's a good player, good role player, but he's only for 1 year. Well, guess what? Brandon Ingram, he's a rent player too. There's no guarantee he's going to sign with Toronto. He might, and it might work out for them. But this was sort of a rent for rent, and you to get a first and second round pick kicked into this. To me, you know, and you can never tell about winners and losers when the trades start get made. But that, to me, is, I think, the crux of it. Because you don't know what's going to happen with Brown. You don't know what's going to happen with Brandon Ingram. But you do have those two picks.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, you know who we probably should be thinking for all this? It's Clutch, right? The representation, the agency, I should say, that represented Anthony Davis and got him out of New Orleans to the Lakers. From what I understand is Brandon Ingram, when he signed with Clutch a couple months ago, he had a couple of agents, and one of those agents by the name of Mike George is very close to the Toronto organization. Masai Ujiri opened up an agency up in Toronto, somewhere in Canada, years ago, and came on board with Clutch just in the past year. So I think if Brandon didn't have him, right, hadn't switched agencies, I don't think this deal gets done. I don't think the Pelicans get those draft assets, right? So the Pels would still be in limbo. So like I said, it's fortuitous the way it worked out to me. And I'll be honest, I don't think the Raptors give up such a good first round pick and such a great draft if they don't think, or they're confident enough, I should say, that they're going to re-sign Brandon Ingram. Because if you look across the league, if you're BI, where else are you going to get the type of money you kind of want, right? Almost everybody's playing around with the luxury tax line, or they're even above an apron, first apron or second. So they can't add you. So Toronto is one of the last remaining places where I think Brandon can get maybe a deal for $40 million per year, right, for, say, 2 to 3 years.
Ollie, definitely appreciate your time. Thanks for carving out some for us. I know it's been a busy trade deadline for you. Get some rest and get ready for the, I guess, the final hole of the season for the Pellies.
Yeah, we've got to get to the end, right? It's a losing season, but we've got Trey Murphy, Eaton, Missy, right? There's hope. Let's just hope Zion can finish the year healthy. That's probably another thing I should mention.
Thanks again, Ollie. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Ollie Cosell joining us on the Treasure Chest Casino Power Seat. Okay, we're going to keep it right here. Sorry, I'm getting from the studio. Guys,
give me your thoughts. Give me your thoughts on the Pelicans trade, and then also, future going forward with what this team has.
My thing is, I think this is he was never going to resign here,
and you he would have resigned, but it was going to cost you.
Yeah. And so you didn't want to pay
that
kind of money. My thing is, I think you got the best deal you could have asked for, because there is no guarantee on both ends here. There's no guarantee with Toronto that they'll re-sign. They can sign basically on that end. There's no guarantee that you could keep Brown on this end. But you got a first and a second round pick. A lot of people were talking about you wasn't even going to get a first.
You weren't going to get a first.
So my thing overall – at this stage is, now if Brandon signs a long-term deal, then we've seen enough of him.
Here's my deal. And, Steve, I'll let you go, and I'll kind of tell you what I think on that side of it, Mike, because I agree and I disagree to a point. Steve, what do you think?
For me, the Brandon Ingram trade definitely had to happen. It just felt like he was kind of – holding in, you know, basically sitting out on these games. It had been forever with his ankle issue, and it just kept dragging on and on. You saw him just sitting there on the bench, and it gets to fans.
I think it's a psyche thing too for the team.
Well, he had started to ramp up a little bit more.
I figured I also thought I was going somewhere else.
The trade deadline is coming,
exactly.
So I can start ramping up more basketball. What I'm doing. The Pelicans were not comfortable paying the $40 million to $50
million. And range. I don't blame them one bit.
And so that's where the disconnect. He will get $40 million from Toronto. He will get $40 million from Toronto. But the Pelicans were not comfortable playing that because what other contracts start to kick in next year?
Right.
Look at what other contracts starts to kick in. And so they actually got under the tax.
With the trade with the
Theis. Yeah, with Theis. That actually got them under. So they could have went to the summer with Brandon on the roster. Now the gamble becomes he gets more money if the Pelicans kind of trade him just because you got bird rights and all this other stuff with a sign and trade. But they were able to get, you know, a first and second. And then the other thing, I think that if you look at some of those salaries, I think one is expiring salary. But also if it isn't, one is expiring salary. And then CJ. The other one, you're not taking back. No, I'm talking about via the trade.
Okay.
No, with Brown.
So you're not taking back a ton of cap. So that still gives you some room.
Flexibility
where, hey, I can package this and still be able to go out and get player X or whatever.
But in the fall, didn't we all think you'd get more from Brandon?
The fall? No, it was the summer. If you really thought it was a summer.
Yeah.
This past summer.
I'm talking about this past
fall, once they were rolling and
you weren't going to get it.
The leverage was gone.
Now we shall take a break here on Sports Talk. We're at the Host Committee's Media Center on Radio Row, powered by Lambert, Zaney, Smith, and Sosa. We'll be right back with more of Sports Talk after the break here on WWL. Well, it's Steve Geller, Mike Dottiglia, and Deuce McAllister here on WWL Sports Talk at the Host Committee's Media Center, Radio Row, powered by Lambert, Zaney, Smith, and Sosa. Mikey D, what you got for us?
Deuce, I'm going to ask you, because I know you were a big part of this last night, the announcement about the Children's Hospital in including with Archie and the whole Manning family. And I think you one of the members of the board of that. And so, man, what a great honor for Archie and the Manning family and Olivia, and also for you to get to serve on that board also.
Yeah, it was pretty unique, and glad to be a part of it. I mean, and so you think about the Manning family, what they have done, and for our community, you know, and not only just from a ambassador standpoint, but just the impact that they have made. And so not just Archie and Olivia, but, you know, the brothers as well. And so unique opportunity for Children's Hospital to get more involved with them and some of the things that they do. And so it's special times. And it's just really about giving the next generation an opportunity to be able to, you know, hopefully be able to flourish.
Guys, you look at the Sunday's game, the line changed a little bit finally. It's now just a one-point favorite for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, but cheat. Come on, Steve. 1.5 to 1?
I don't know. Is that going to end up being a pick 'em, though?
No, Steve. You know what's going on? As the week gets closer.
Yeah.
Hey, how does it move? I think it'll move probably another one or two points. I don't know which way, but before Sunday, I think it'll move one. I mean, because a lot of people, hey, how much did such and such party?
Yeah.
I just saw a report.
And who's hurt?
Jalen Carter. You took it out of my – I just
Bingo.
Saw a report. He practiced fully today.
Right.
You know, and so as the days – today's Thursday, you got one more walkthrough. Nothing flukish happens. So, you know, the guys that have been waiting to see what happens this week, maybe somebody misses a curfew and has a long night. The line changes. You never know. But I think it'll go swing, you know, maybe a point or two again before Sundays, before kickoff.
One of the lines also moved. It started at 45.5, yep. Over and under. Then it jumped all the way to 49.5, went to 49, 48.5, I think. Today, it's 49. Goes to show a little bit of fluctuation. What they're trying to tell you is they think it's going to be a high-scoring game.
Yeah, and I do, too.
I agree.
And the reason I think that is because of explosive plays. I think explosive plays. You got to remember, normally when some teams have some times off, the timing is off. And then also, you know, you shouldn't have a lot of issues with cleats. But both of these teams, neither of these teams play in a dome.
Right.
So, you know, that first series, maybe even first half, I've got to make sure that I've got the right cleats on. And so you may see a slip or two. But at some point, you're just going to have some explosive plays. And the other area that you have to kind of check and watch is special teams. Who's winning that game? The punt,
I ain't
punt
giving
return,
that check mark to the Eagles,
you know,
right?
Kickoff
Steve?
Return. You know, that'll play a factor. And that's the hidden yardage amount. And so Worthy, he's going to be fast as lightning on that track.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, Devontae Smith should be fast as lightning on that track
as well.
And
he has burned the Chiefs, so that's a good sign for the Eagles.
20 yeah. catches for Devontae in the last three games he's played Kansas City. 20. Now, you know what that tells me? The rotating coverage toward AJ side.
Oh, AJ, yeah, hey, yeah. We're not going to let you beat us.
Right.
Deuce, thanks for hanging out with me and Mike. Appreciate
Thank
the time. How was it, by the way, escorting the Lombardi Trophy?
Yeah, I had to go let it get a little rest. You know, it's been with me for some time here in New Orleans, so I had to go let it get a little rest. I'll see it later on.
Taking a break. We'll be back with more sports talk after the news right after this on WWL.